Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, here we go.
Pac-12 fans, this one's for you.
Put your hands up, man!
This is the Pac-12 Apostles.
Keeping it real.
And only the truth lives here.
Pac-12 Apostles. Apostles.
I'm George Reister, he's Ralph Amson, and this is the Pac-12 Apostles! The final season, not of this podcast, but of the name of this podcast, because I guess we got to change it. Or should we do like the Washington Commanders or something like that and just be like, listen, we're just keeping this name no matter what the hell happens?
I don't, it's like you came into the room and my husband just died and I have his last name and you're like, you gonna change it? Now is not the time.
All right. Well, we will discuss that later, but you guys can send us our future name suggestions to imad@unafraidshow.com or tweet us at Pac-12 Apostles, or you can leave it in a review as well. And make sure that you guys leave 5-star reviews wherever you listen to podcasts. And of course, engage with us. We will hit you back. You know what it is. And most importantly, share the feed. But Ralph, we got a new review.
We did. And for longtime listeners of this podcast, I just want to point out that I did like the naturally sexist thing that George would have me do and assume that... Yeah, no, that's right. Assume that I, as a woman in this scenario, would have changed my last name instead of go with a what? Hyphenated last name, which you think I'm.
Yes, because you're the hyphenated king.
I don't have a hyphenated last name.
Yeah, but you love players with hyphenated names.
That's a coincidence.
That's a hell of a coincidence. That's a lot of times in a row, buddy.
It's a few. Shout out to former Washington scout team quarterback Daniel Bridgegad. So let me read our review. It's an updated review, which I know that you'll appreciate, George. Went from 4 stars to 5.
Yeah, buddy.
And it's from our guy Lancry, the University of Arizona fan. He said, time for another of review. That is the title. Time
nice.
For another of review.
Okay.
Hey, gents. I appreciate the acknowledgement of the last review despite my chippy and triggering comments. I've enjoyed this podcast the last 2 years. Loved this podcast from the 27th. Great discussions. And I really enjoyed the AP and Dion conversation in last week's podcast. You guys are down to earth and for the most part really come at your analysis as true college football enthusiasts overall and not homers. Don't get me wrong. I feel the hate from ASU Ralph and some homerism, but my posts and feelings match. So I have no footing to stand on. With that said, forks were up for much of the USC game, and I watched that before I bailed. Some respect to give there. Keep up the great work, and I'll be foolishly taking U of A money line against the Huskies, banking on Noah getting rid of the ball.
Oh, my God.
Defense.
Not the money line. Take the points. Take the
points. Well, You bluffed that you're going Moneyline Arizona last week and then pulled out of it.
Oh, that was 100% bluff. That had no like real thought of actually doing that.
Can I tell you when I stopped hating University of Arizona?
Okay, when?
It was when my oldest son was born.
Why?
Like the day he was born. I would love to say that it was like, oh, I really realized.
Saved by a Tucson doctor?
I
mean,
I actually think his doctor, it was a U of A grad. So that was part of it.
A Tucsonese doctor?
I would love to say that it was like I looked in my son's eyes and saw there's no more room for hate in this world, only love. But the truth is, like, his doctor went to University of Arizona. And, like, the moment he was born, it was kind of like you with Damon. I'm like, well, if U of A wants to offer my son a scholarship, I'm not going to get in the way. Like, it was like...
Okay.
It's accredited university. And at the time, they were the only school in Arizona with a medical school. But now ASU and NAU are getting one. So maybe it's time to rev up the hate speech a little bit when it comes. I'm not big on the rivalry, and I haven't been for like the last 15 years. I want everybody to lose. Not just University of Arizona.
Nice. All right. So let's start with the AP poll again this week. And we are going to keep banging this drum until there is change. And this week, it was, I cannot for the life of me. And I understand why, because there have been responses. I've talked offline to some writers or some two voters specifically, and they stated why some of the voters are starting to change because of a little bit of the pressure, and why some are resisting change. So number one is, part of the reason why they're resisting change is that these voters are essentially not beat writers, but how would you describe it, Ralph?
Yeah, I think for the most part, they're either like sports editors or beat writers.
Yeah, for a specific school/conference, like for instance, John Wilner is with the Pac-12. So his focus for watching games is largely going to be Pac-12. So if he has if he is faced with watching in the same time slot, watching, you know, Stanford versus Arizona State, he has to err towards that as opposed to watching Georgia play. He would, of course, they're watching, you know, stat lines, and they're watching, you know, the ticker at the bottom and all of that. But there is, and I'm not talking specifically about John, but I'm just saying just in general, that they're largely watching and dissecting even deeper the teams and the conferences that they cover specifically. And so there's not a lot of room, especially with deadlines, timelines, and all of that, to necessarily watch all of the rest of the teams play. So it's easier for them to lean into the, all right, look, we'll just move up, move down based upon who won and who lost. Well, this week it was USC who took another hit. And USC went down one spot, flopping spots with Oregon, while Georgia struggled. I mean, they needed a Brock Bowers Herculean effort in the end of the game to save them from ending up in overtime against a Auburn team that scored 14 points against Cal. Well, that game was 14-10, if I remember correctly. And Auburn's not particularly good this year. Their quarterback situation is untenable. They threw for 82 yards in the game and had Georgia in an absolute headlock. So, but Georgia won't move. And people are saying, well, they're the two-time champs. You got to knock them off. How are you supposed to knock them off with this schedule that they're playing? Number one. And number two, this is an entirely different season. You are supposed to be judging on the information that you're given. But this week, Ralph, was the first time that I've seen this many teams get votes. 35 of the 62 went to Georgia. of first place votes. 12 went to Michigan, 10 went to Texas, 1 went to Ohio State, and 4 went to Florida State, Ralph. Have you seen that many teams get first place votes before?
No, no. And I do think that that is very cool. I like that. But, you know, we're talking about, you know, the 62 AP voters and, you know, the which ones are, you know, actually watching the Pac-12. And you bring up Wilner, and he has everybody in the Pac-12 pretty much lower than everyone else in the country. And he's the closest one to it. He's a friend of the show. We've had him on the show many times. But that is just interesting to me because I'm going through the ballots of everybody in the Pac-12 footprint. He's the least kind. You have Michael Lev out of Tucson, who actually has 4 Pac-12 teams in the top 10 for the second week in a row, with Washington State at 10 and Washington as high as 4. But most of the voters out here just are refusing to believe that the high-end teams in the Pac-12 could compete on a national stage with the high-end teams from other conferences. So you're hearing that the Pac-12 is the deepest conference, but they don't believe that the deep end of the pool is as deep as SEC, Big Ten, and things like that.
Oh, Lord have mercy, bro, because – and we're going to see what happens this weekend because – right now in the AP poll, Washington is 7, Oregon 8, USC 9, then Notre Dame 10, Alabama 11. Then you got Oklahoma and Washington State at 13, right? So Alabama plays Texas A&M this weekend. Texas A&M is 4-1, but they are not ranked. If Alabama wins this game, no matter how ugly they win this game, because remember – their only loss is to Texas A&M's only loss is to Miami. Miami is sitting at 17. So if Alabama beats Texas A&M, do you believe that there is a chance that they will jump over NC State? I'm sorry, Notre Dame, who I believe plays Louisville this weekend, who's number 25. Or Washington or Oregon, who are off, or USC, who plays Arizona.
The majority of Alabama's votes are in the 10 to 11 range. Over half the voters have them in the 10 or 11 range. Only 4 voters have them in the top 10. And so, you know, do I think that a majority of those voters would jump them over a Washington or a USC or, you know, yeah, probably, because we've seen USC drop 2 weeks in a row after wins. So, it would make sense to me. There's only
– So that's the question. Why is USC dropping after they were dominating the game, came back to be a close game, and they won, whereas like when Texas played Wyoming – going into the fourth quarter, it was a 10-10 game.
Right. Against Wyoming's backup quarterback, by the way.
Yeah. So there is natural bias, but do you think that bias will change when Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA are then in the Big Ten? Because those schedules, bro, that's actually one thing. And the same thing with those teams in the Big 12. I'm actually looking at this, Ralph, and I'm looking at there was an article put out about Michigan's potential schedule for next season. And I was shocked because the rumor is that they want to get like front load these schedules for the first few years to really ramp up their television partners, increase the money potentially early. And you could have Michigan playing Washington, Oregon, USC and UCLA, or at least 3 of those 4, plus Ohio State as well, which would, I mean, that would be an unbelievable schedule.
I agree. I do think it matters where somebody is positioned, but I can also throw out there that it's not just the Pac-12 that I feel like is getting disrespected in this process. But actually, the ACC is kind of part of that as well. You know, there are 24 of the 62 voters that don't have Louisville as a top 25 team.
Yeah.
Yep. And that, so they come in at 25 and they're 5-0, right? They're undefeated. The games haven't looked all that good, but you know, there are still, compare that to Kentucky, who is 5-0, and only has two, people that believe that they're not worthy of being in the top 25.
And they want LSU to still be good, bro. They want LSU to still be good. They're 3-2 at 23, bro. They got 700 yards of offense put on them.
Yep. And you have people that have voted them. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 writers that voted them in the top 19. Eight that put them in the top 19 that want, that believe that LSU, who got wrecked by Ole Miss. Like,
and wrecked by Florida State. Bro, their two losses, they got wrecked. That's not even – dude, I would put Clemson in front of them. Clemson didn't get wrecked in their two losses. They lost to Duke, and they got – and their second loss was to who?
Clemson also lost to Florida State.
Yes. Neither one of those was a wrecking. But LSU got wrecked. Come on, people. Come on. But I do think that there's a piece of information, which is Washington State this week is sitting at 4-0 at number 13 in the country. Ralph, who was at 13 in the country last year at this time?
TCU.
So,
yes, sir.
Yeah, so there is hope for Washington State at this point in time and Cam Ward to potentially end up at a Heisman ceremony, because in 2 weeks they get to travel down to Autzen Stadium, play the Ducks, and then their schedule, honestly, bro, they got it light. They got the light end of the Pac-12 schedule, because they got UCLA this week, which is obviously not a light game, but I'm saying, like, it's not the, you know, the heavy end of the Pac-12. Then they get Arizona. They got Oregon. Then they get ASU, Stanford, Cal, Colorado. Bro, there's a real chance that they could be heading into the Washington game at either 10-1 or 11-0. There is a shot. I don't think they're going to beat Oregon, but is there a chance they can beat Oregon? Absolutely. Oregon don't show up with their A game. They show up with like a B minus game, and they show up with their A, they can win.
And Oregon had to hustle last year in the fourth quarter to overcome some pretty ridiculous odds to come back and beat Washington State. They really did. And Washington State seems this year better on both sides of the ball than they were last year. So does Oregon. But it makes that matchup, the potential for that matchup, that much more exciting.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM. Let's create.
Your credit card should match your lifestyle. At Kemba Financial Credit Union, choose a card with benefits that work for you. For a limited time, all cards have 2% cash back on purchases and 0% interest on balance transfers for a year. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Now, to go back to, before we get back to the what happened last week. We got to talk about what happened prior to the game even starting on College Football Game Day.
On ESPN Plus, nobody knows that.
Really? 292nd consecutive game day appearance for Washington State.
Were you guys showing this flag when they were 1-11 in 2009?
Yeah, we were.
How about 2-10 in 2010? Yeah. You were?
Yeah.
That's wild. So when they sucked, you guys were showing that every single week on the biggest college football show?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that handle success, did. Ryan Leaf.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Act like you've been there.
And flying old beef beside it, too.
I want a West Virginia flag flying up there every single time. We don't get it. Washington State gets it. And all of a sudden, Washington State's going, now Big B's up there. Like, shut up, Washington State. I'm sick of you. Waste of time on this show.
Just wait till you get to the Palouse. They'll win you back over.
Who? I doubt it. Well, they came after Coach Corso.
I know.
On the subject.
So, I find it out of line. Pat McAfee, bro, you just got here like 2 years ago. Like you've not been in these college football game day trenches, right? So all of this we talk, like who the fuck who is we? So you speak French right now? We? I like Pat. I just think that him being the ambassador for the going after Washington State. When he ain't the people who were doing that, and he's like, "Oh, we're showing this flag every week, bro." Game day did not assist in any single getting their flag there. All they did is show the crowd, and the flag was there. And then after a few years, it became like, "Damn, that flag is always here, huh?" Let's acknowledge it. Like it wasn't like game day was giving Washington State a platform. They weren't.
It's just part of it. Like, I've been on three college game day sets, and every single time, the first thing I look for is the Washington State flag.
Yeah.
Just because it's part of it. It's really cool.
They got their Washington State fans' dime.
Yeah, they could move their ass over to Big Noon kickoff. They do this as an alumni base just because they love their school. And, like, to be super clear to Pat McAfee, college football is not professional wrestling. It's not this whole like playing the heel thing because they'll love to hate me. Nah, man, they just hate you now.
Yeah.
They hate you. You just alienated one of the best college football towns in America for what?
Yep.
For what? And it's not like the NFL. It's not like when Emmanuel Acho went out and was like, Herbert sucks. Social media quarterback, and then Justin Herbert threw for 50,000 yards in one quarter with Acho in the stands, and then he had to do like a mea culpa. That's fun for the fans you're talking about a town. You're talking about like a whole economy that is dependent upon revenue being brought in by Washington State earning their place as a major college football town. That's that nationwide alert.
What is this nationwide alert for?
It's the National Weather Service set it up with Deion Sanders to let people know we coming.
No, for real. What is it about?
Because it's just a practice.
Oh, okay. I just wiped my.
Everyone in the country got one of those at the exact same time, and now the people that are listening to this in their car are going to get a second one.
So how about do we need a nationwide alert? Is there something brewing, brother?
Nah. Well, maybe a week from now, Washington and Oregon, top 10 matchup.
I honestly, we hope it's a top 10 matchup, because what happens if Oklahoma beats Texas this weekend?
Right. You're right. No, they could absolutely drop just for being inactive, which is very, very dumb.
But which never happens to these. Never mind.
Right.
We're done with the AP poll.
Just throw out there to Pat McAfee, like it's a calculated risk on his part every time he does something like this. And he does something every single day that gets the internet talking. Yesterday, it was Aaron Rodgers calling Travis Kelce, Mr. Pfizer, which
that was
audible LOL
that was
for
funny.
Me.
That was funny.
And so, like, you know, he's going to create conversation, but at some point, and you and I have had this conversation and we've been on opposite sides of this conversation, at some point you have to realize your overall impact and the weight you carry with you on the things that you do, and like using that to like to try to play bully to Washington State for standing up for themselves. Like, and I talked about it last week. I hope that Washington State misinterprets everything Lee Corso says. I hope they are a thorn in the side.
I'm coming every single week, bro. I'm coming out with like videos like Oregon did after the Colorado game. I'm coming out with that every single week. And you gonna feel me. You gonna acknowledge me. Like, I'm gonna be the little thorn in your side, bro.
I hope that Washington State fans are the most, I support them in this, the most ridiculous people on earth through the end of this season, because they should. Yep. They got crushed by this process of breaking up the conference for the benefit of the different television networks, and they were the victim of it. This isn't playing the victim, it's being the victim. They should be as loud and nasty and weird as possible, and if it makes Pat McAfee uncomfortable, good, do it again. And again, yep. And again, don't stop. Like, make him come off as the bad guy because you won't let up. Be yep. as relentlessly weird as Pat McAfee was in that clip. I'm all for it.
100%. To lighten the mood before we get to the games, there is a play this weekend that I know that Arizona State fans and Ralph themselves will be happy about. So if you are listening to this on audio, you guys can go on the Pac-12 Apostles Twitter and watch it. And it is at the 23-minute and 43-second mark.
Trying to run for it. Breaking tackles. Oh, he's out. Oh my God. He gets popped. He
you didn't
the
see
football.
That?
No.
You didn't see Jaden Daniels get absolutely rocked? Dude, twice this year.
You sent me a note about it, but I thought you were talking about the Mississippi State game.
No, that's a whole new game, brother.
Oof. Man, I tell you what, they fixed him. They fixed him in that offense. It's going to be a wasted year because they don't play defense. But the fact that he's like throwing it up to receivers instead of just playing it safe all the time.
It only took 6 years.
He maybe needs to play it a little bit safer in the running game.
In the running department.
God dang.
Bro, this is his second time this year getting absolutely like
run through.
Yes.
He got run through.
Dude, that ball was on an ejecto seat.
You said, when I seen that ball.
Oh, man. All right. Let's get on to the business that was last week. And it started on Friday. And we like to pat ourselves on the back when we get it right. And Ralph, what did we say about this game, Oregon State versus Utah, if Cam Rising did not play?
I said the most aggressive take of the under in the history of this show.
Yes.
And we smashed that under. And then you said Oregon State scores 21, games over.
Yep.
And the final score, Oregon State 21, Utah 7.
Yep. Dude, Utah, like, I damn near dropped them out of my top 25 this week. That was brutal to watch. I mean, we've talked about, we cannot account for them being hurt. Like you are what you've put on film. They are 4-1. But the question is like, I don't, when I look at this team, when I'm watching this team, I'm like, this is like watching the Nathaniel Hackett Denver Broncos play offense, maybe worse. It's brutal. And I know that Cam Rising is hurt, but they have other issues besides that on the offensive end because their defense does a good job. But there comes a point where your defense can't just pitch shutouts. And the reality is that Nate Johnson, who was 8-for-23 for 101 yards and a touchdown, and Bryson Barnes this ain't it. They were 13 for 31 combined for 141 yards, a touchdown and a pick. I talked to a Pac-12 coach on Saturday, and he was like, yo, there is not a real live, not a graduate assistant, nothing. Like somebody who's watching film on these teams, he said that there is no chance that adding Cam Rising back is going to just magically make them back into next year. There are bigger issues going on with that offense, and it is, and like they're going to go from one of the worst in the country to like middle worst in the country to like from like top 130 to like top 65, 70 with Cam Rising.
No. Their floor is 2022 Illinois, and their ceiling is any year but this year San Diego State. Like where it's just going to be like it's going to have to be an average offense that carries them through some of these games. But I mean, they also had kind of a devastating loss, didn't they, this last week on the defensive side of the ball? And they're probably the second least healthy team in the Pac-12. But Logan Fano, their really talented defensive end, he is out for the season.
Yep, torn ACL.
And so, yeah, that's a tough one.
Yep. So, listen, Utah's a tough-minded team. Are they going to – quote unquote be okay? Like, yeah, but okay this year does not look like what they would have predicted. And Cam Rising clearly is, I mean, he didn't even dress out, didn't put on a full workout prior to the game. They said he's been practicing some. I don't even know what his practicing some really looks like, because that does not look accurate at this point in time, if you get what I'm saying.
He was day-to-day 1 month ago.
Yeah, that's a lot of...
He was day-to-day going into the season. So either they made that up.
Yes.
And they lied to have some type of competitive advantage.
Yep.
Well, what competitive advantage is there in just like... nobody believes you anymore, so just drop it. If Cam Rising is not playing this year, just shut him down. Don't make him go through the, like, even the physical labor of putting on pads for no reason. Just shut it down.
Well, see, the thing I noticed is when he was throwing the ball, when they showed him, he wasn't, like, moving full speed at all, like, or even fast. And he also had a DonJoy knee brace on, but he also had another brace on as well. Like, so he had multiple or, like, either he had multiple braces on or he had a special designed brace. So this appears to be more than just an ACL. So that he may have hurt something else in there. So we shall see.
Well, isn't this his third ACL?
It's something. Yeah, it's more than his first.
For so sure. If you're the like team doctor or Cam Rising's personal doctor, and you're looking out there and you're like, okay, could we chance it this week? And then you just watch Bryson Barnes get put in the hospital after a hit to the chest, and you're like, well, maybe this isn't the year, right? Like,
dude, they said they were very concerned for Bryson Barnes. Like the messaging that came out was scary. Like, I was like, are we afraid for his life?
Right. But then at the same time, you get in boy who cried wolf territory.
Ooh.
With Kyle Whittingham. So it's like, oh, did he get a cut on his nipple? Like, we don't know. We don't know what to believe when you talk.
Yep. And now Utah is 5 games in. They're averaging 19.2 points per game. But their defense is only giving up 11.8 points per game. So, you know, it is what it is, man. And total offense, they are dead last in the Pac-12. Dead last. Under 300 yards a game.
So, yeah.
And it doesn't matter how good your defense is. You got a couple offenses in the Pac-12 that will score 2-3 touchdowns by accident. Oregon State's one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to, like it's they're going to keep pushing on the door. And eventually it's going to break. Eventually the door is going to break.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Your credit card should match your lifestyle. At Kemba Financial Credit Union, choose a card with benefits that work for you. For a limited time, all cards have 2% cash back on purchases and 0% interest on balance transfers for a year. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, next game up. Now, before we go to the next game, even though I just said next game, Ralph just stumbled upon some news.
So Utah might be having a hard time moving the football, but they're not going to have a hard time helping each other move because all Utah scholarship football players just received a new truck as part of an NIL deal with the Utah Crimson Collective. Every scholarship player on Utah's football team is getting a 2024 Ram 1500 Bighorn with Night Edition package. The lease and insurance costs will be fully funded by the donors of the Crimson Collective. How about that?
Bro, that's that money, bro. Bro, that's 85, minimum. I was like maximum of 85 cars getting leased out. Now, they must, right? When players graduate, they got to have to give those back and like pass that down to like a new kid. Like to where it's like a 2 or 3 year thing, because that's a lot of loaners, buddy.
Yeah, the lease is getting paid. The lease is getting paid by the collective and the insurance costs. And because it's a lease, I don't think it'll affect the kids' tax statuses. I don't believe. So, but pretty cool, especially after last year's Built Bar covering the scholarships of all the BYU kids that were walk-ons. For that year.
This might help in recruiting, bro. We don't need to get you no car. You good when you come out here to Utah, man, and you good in the snow, you good everything else. We got you, fam. Hey, amazing. All right. On to the next game from last week. USC Colorado. USC 48, Colorado 41. This was a 34-14 game at halftime, and then the wheels came off for USC. Wheels came off. Now, this was another win for your boy. Minus 20. They were minus 21 and a half. I was sweating it a little bit at halftime, but then I knew USC wouldn't let me down. I knew Colorado wouldn't let me down. And they didn't. Bro, this USC defense is leaky, buddy. Leaky. And Lincoln Riley is like, hey, listen, to the untrained eye, this is not the same issues as last year. To the untrained eye, us coaches, we see it differently. What do you see?
I'm actually mad that he's kind of right. Like, USC's defense stinks. It just is a different scent than the stink. Like, last year was armpits and this is feet. Like, Because what was the big issue last year is missed tackles, right? Yep. And giving up over 6.5 yards per play, which is pretty wild. But I think here's the deal. USC's opponents are like 6-19 combined. 6-19.
Yes.
They gave up 28 to an ASU team that scored 0 the week before. They gave up 41 to a Colorado team that scored 6 the week before. No difference in personnel, really, either time. Yeah, just absolutely brutal defensive calls by Alex Grinch. They're aggressive. They're not necessarily missing the tackles that they missed last year, but they haven't really played anybody yet, and they're still giving up. They're still giving up a ton of points. Even Stanford,
yes, was able to score.
Had four explosive plays on offense in the running game against them. They should be concerned. I know that Lincoln Riley's out here defending his boy or whatever, but they are giving Oklahoma. Oklahoma's got a top five defense right now without him.
Hey, they're giving up on average the 10th most yards in the conference at 404 yards a game. Only Stanford and Colorado are worse. And it's very interesting,
and they
because
no one,
because I saw a stat, a USC, fan person put out. They were like, we are first and second in the nation in sacks and tackle for loss and number 6 in the nation in havoc rate. I don't know what havoc is or how you even quantify that. But somebody in the comments was like, yeah, but then you're 50 something in total defense and scoring. So.
Right. And you got to go against Colorado and Arizona State's offensive lines.
Yes.
The two worst in the conference.
Yeah.
Worse than even Stanford as far as O-lines go. Yep. So, yeah, I don't want
to. So how does this go for the next few weeks against Notre Dame, Utah, Cal, Washington, Oregon, and UCLA? In terms of.
I think it's going to be bad.
In terms of the stress that your defense is going to be under. Like, Caleb Williams is not going to be able to try to make hero plays and miss like he did. If he has a two-pick game, they might get 2 touchdowns.
Nope, they got a Mike D'Antoni the rest of the season. Whoever had the most points at the end of the game had the best defense. That's how they have to. That was a sign that was in Mike D'Antoni's office when he was in Phoenix. Whoever has the most points at the end of the game had the best defense, which is categorically not true at all.
Correct.
But it sounds nice.
Correct.
No, Lincoln Riley, Caleb Williams, they're going to have to carry this team. That became super evident. They really had Colorado knocked out. But that just goes to show you the discipline and resolve of this Deion Sanders coach team.
Yes, bro, they play hard.
Halftime.
Bro, and they have some dudes on this team. Can we talk about Amarion Miller?
Can we?
Dude,
can we? Because
7 million
people were watching this game. 11 snaps before this?
Yes. Before that game, he played 11 snaps.
That's insane to me.
7 for 196 in a tutty.
Dude, he was unbelievable. And he better, I guess, do something moving forward, because that's the bar now. Is he had the most receiving yards for a debut receiver in like 12 years. And he did it in front of 7 million people.
Yeah.
Omarion Miller is a household name after one game.
Yes. Yes.
He's getting the same love that Puka Nacua is getting out for the LA Rams. Like, this guy came out of nowhere. Now we just expect him to be good every single week.
This game ended up.
Your boy Cormani McClain, he got some.
Yes. Rest. He was out there strapping up. Yo, he was like, I'm ready, coach. You called me out. I got in my playbook. You put me in. I'm ready. Please let me go. Hey, man,
yeah.
Sometimes a little call out is all you need.
And I mean, it sounds like we're bashing on the team that almost dropped 50, but that's what we expected going into the game.
Yes.
Marshawn Lloyd only getting 13 carries is insane. Caleb Williams is so good. So good.
Okay.
Like he,
all right, can we,
light work for him every week.
Can we talk about that for a second? Because that play that got posted on social, that 71-yard touchdown to Taj Washington.
Mm-hmm.
the social media posts about it. Oh my God, this is heroic play. And listen, Caleb Williams makes enough ridiculous plays for us not to have to turn that routine play that half the quarterbacks in the country could have made into something that was like groundbreaking. Like, it was cool.
You're talking about the 71-yard touchdown pass where there was no pressure for like 6.5 seconds?
Yes, yes. And then he moved to the left, and then Taj Washington was butt naked out there, and he just threw it to him, and then he just ran in. Like, I didn't see anything special about that play.
Most JV quarterbacks should be able to throw down the field 40 yards without the pocket collapsing at all. He didn't even need to move the pocket.
No.
That's how little pressure.
That's what I'm saying. It was just a regular play. Cool. Like,
it doesn't make his top 10 list of plays for the season so far.
No. He does enough spectacular stuff that we don't have to reach. That's the up point. So this is not hate. Like, the dude is unbelievable. Are some people going to receive that as hate, Ralph?
I don't think so. I think anybody who watches Caleb Williams knows that, like, if you're going to choose one of his highlights, that is probably not going to be one of them, because he didn't face a pass rush. There was no pass rush. He could have run that ball for about 22 to 25 yards.
Yep.
If he makes one guy miss, it goes for 50.
Can we talk about Shedeur Sanders for a hot second? He's good. He's good, and he's clutch, dude. He finds a way to when the chips are on the line, to get something done. Now, Colorado made a crucial mistake in this game. Crucial mistake. And that was – how long did it take them to score on that drive? Like 5 minutes almost? Or four minutes?
Toward the end of the game when they started handing the ball off?
Yes. The crowd started booing because the crowd knew that what they were doing was insanity.
Yeah, it's almost like they were just trying to keep it close. Like, they didn't realize that they actually had a shot to catch up. And they did have a shot to catch up. This isn't like – this is a one-score game like the Washington-Arizona game's a one-score game, but they were not the same.
No, not even a little bit.
Arizona had to score with almost no time left in order to make that a 7-point game. You could say, yeah, that's the same for the Colorado game, but it was like a 27-7 run there at the end. Colorado was getting whatever they wanted. Some of the stuff they were choosing to want was very hard.
You are right. I like that. The things that they were choosing to want. All right, now on Oregon 42, Stanford 6. Stanford, now it was funny. I saw this stat and people were like, Stanford held Oregon to 6 yards in the first quarter. Oregon only ran 3 plays in the first quarter. Three. They had one drive. They went 3 and out. Stanford kicked it. So Stanford got the ball first, went down, kicked the field goal. They kicked the field goal, 3 and out. Then they had the ball the entire quarter and then kicked another field goal, and then the game was over.
Yeah. I don't have much to say about this game for the simple reason that, like, it played out exactly the way that I thought it would. You're going to go into a stadium with no energy whatsoever. Stanford gets the ball first, and they're just really good at holding the ball, and they don't really turn the ball over. They had no turnovers against University of Arizona, and I don't think they turned the ball over in this game either. So they just kind of bleed the clock, and then Oregon had their first down with like 9 minutes left in the second quarter. And from that point, they scored on 7 of 8 drives, and the 8th was a missed field goal.
Yeah.
Seven of eight drives.
Hey, man. They pressed the easy button again, man. They pressed the easy button.
Yeah. Well, Ashton Daniels, it looked like maybe got concussed in this game, so they had to bring Justin Lampson in. That's tough because he's not the guy who's going to throw the ball down the field, right?
Yep. I don't like this 2-quarterback thing, dude. They put Justin Lampson in to, like, run the ball all over the place. Dude had 22 carries. Move him to running back, please. Move him to running back.
And they actually, like, I don't understand why EJ Smith only gets a handful of carries every game. I don't know if he's not healthy, but yeah, his usage rate is crazy to me.
Yep. Ben Skowronek got 2 carries.
EJ Smith has 25 carries on the season, halfway through the season.
How many does Casey Philkins have?
Casey Philkins only had 7 last week, and
he has 7 this week.
He has 31 carries on the season. They're both averaging 6.5 yards.
How many does Justin Lampson have on the year?
As a part-time player?
Yes.
Justin Lampson has, let's see here.
And the reason why this is important is because, I mean, are we watching Navy?
60.
So he's got more than the two of them combined.
Yeah.
Then your two top running backs, your quarter runner guy, has more carries than both of your running backs combined. Make it make sense. Make it make sense. I don't know what Stanford's trying to do.
Just agreed.
Saying. All right. Bo Nix, Troy Franklin went crazy. Homecoming. This was not a fair fight. Nope. But it's good to see teams actually dominate bad teams and don't let them put up touchdowns. Feels good.
42-6 is a weird score to have 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And considering that one of them was a touchdown, the other one was two field goals to make it even more weird. All right. Washington 31, Arizona 24, Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about that this was actually – Arizona scored super late to make this even closer. But can we talk about – is there a quarterback controversy in Arizona?
I don't know.
Noah Fifita was – for his first start, this was very impressive.
They
27 for 39, 232, 3 TDs and a pick.
They seem the same. They kind of seem like the same play. And so you look at it and you're like, well, if they're the same, maybe we go with the guy that's
So do you think
younger?
That Noah has blow up potential? Like, I mean, like, like to
his
where
interception like, was his interception was like, did they put Jaden back on the field?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, but it's also his first start
pitch. Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. It was his first start. So do
he
you
had a
think
second
that,
pick dropped?
Yep. Saw that.
I don't know. I thought he looked good.
That's what I'm saying. It's his
very
first start.
Poised. Yes. That's what I'm saying. He looked like Jaden Delora. He looked like Jaden Delora out there, and Jaden Delora has 30 Pac-12 starts under his belt.
Yeah. So now, which way do you go? Because is he Jaden, and he's just going to keep doing this? Like, keep, you know, playing exactly like Jaden at where he's good and terrible at the same time, or great and terrible at the same time? Or is he going to, as he gets more reps, become more comfortable, take better care of the football because that's who he was in high school?
I think at this point you can probably afford to let Jaden get healthy. But I mean, if he goes out there and he beats somebody that maybe they shouldn't beat, I don't know. It looked consistent to me. It did not look like there was a drop-off, and I think that yep. is interesting.
Yeah.
And he does go at T-Mac a lot. He goes at T-Mac a lot.
Well, like, that's all he threw to in high school. Sure. Well, him and the their tight end that's also there at Arizona as well. So that's Arizona. Now UW got shut down. They got shut down. Only 31 points. No, I'm joking. Only 31 points. And Michael Penix Jr. shut down. No touchdowns. They held him. They held him in check for 363 yards. Bottled him up. I'm joking.
Yeah. People.
I'm joking. They bottled up Rome Odunze. No 100-yard game. Bernard, no 100-yard. No 100-yard wide receivers. Arizona put them in a headlock. I'm joking. I don't want people to get, just be like, hey, yo. No, he's no. I'm joking. This was a dominating offensive performance. It just didn't have the amount of points. But I do think that this also shows that, I mean, number one, they were playing in Arizona, in Tucson, which is a tough place to play, and mm-hmm. they haven't yes. had a lot of success in Tucson or in Tempe. So how would you grade UW for this win? Granted, a win is a win. So as Dan Lanning said, 1A is the win. Mm-hmm. So they got an A for that. And then, or a 10, however you want to judge it. And then 1B is the standard. So did they meet the standard?
This game actually scared me a little bit. I was wondering if Washington was for real. And then I watched a team say, okay, you can have everything in front of us. Nothing's going to go behind us, but we'll let you take whatever you want from 5 to 15 yards. And Washington just goes, all right, we'll take it. And that was the end of the game. It was just over at that point because they managed to do it. And I think the whole thing is like make them run more plays. Maybe they'll make more mistakes.
Yeah.
They did have a fumble in the red zone at the end of the game that Arizona was not able to capitalize on. That's the one that preceded the yes. toss play pick.
Yeah, so it could have been a little closer earlier.
Yeah, and I think it was a good game plan on Arizona's behalf, but like you just have to wonder, does Washington have the patience to just take everything we offer them and run their offense that way? And the answer is yes, because without going over the top, without giving Michael Penix the deep ball, he still averaged 9 yards per attempt, which is insane to me. 363 yards, 30 of 40. The only time that I feel like they deviated from the game plan is their second to last possession when they had the opportunity to run the clock down. They went out and threw three times like they were chasing the Heisman.
Yes.
That got them
That's
in trouble.
That's going to be hard
for coaches. Have done that.
That's going to be hard for coaches because they're like, okay, we haven't thrown a touchdown. We need to get them a touchdown. We need to get them a touchdown. And, so UW, still a good team. I would not have moved them down in the polls. But, you know, they did allow a little bit of that caping for Washington to cool down a little bit. Had they won this game by
–
had they won this game 34-10, it would have continued.
I hope Roma Dunze's okay. I don't know if you saw what happened to him at the end of the game.
No. What happened to him?
He jumped on the onside kick about 9 yards, didn't let it go 10, just jumped forward and jumped on it, and then he just got stuck by everybody on Arizona's team. He got walked off the field right before their last series. So he got a little banged up
the
right
Oregon
before the
game.
The game
is in 2 weeks. He'll be all right. His body will be magically healed. I'm telling you, if not, they will stick needles in there.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM. Let's create.
Your credit card should match your lifestyle. At Kemba Financial Credit Union, choose a card with benefits that work for you. For a limited time, all cards have 2% cash back on purchases and 0% interest on balance transfers for a year. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Last game up for the week, Arizona State 21, Cal 24. Did you want to cry at the end of this game, Ralph?
No, what's weird is I think some of the most toxic's the wrong word. Some of the most emotional reactions to ASU so far this year came in people watching this game. And to me, it looked like the better team won. ASU played pretty impressive on the defensive side of the ball. They don't trust their quarterback in goal line situations, so they kept running that wildcat out there.
Yeah, with Scataboo.
Yeah.
With Scataboo, very good player.
But I
did not know that boy was like 5'9", and yeah.
5'9", 590?
Yes. Yes, he's a bowling ball. Fire hydrant.
Yeah. He did some positive things in this game, but he's not really the guy that's going to burst through the line and get 20 yards on a run. I don't know what to tell you. They had offensive linemen like 4, 7, 9, 12, and 13 on the field. So
they still got 21 points. Trenton Borgay, your guy, the guy that you stamp for all the time.
Yeah.
26 for 41 for 344. No tubs and a pick. This was a better performance, honestly, than we've seen out of the quarterbacks there so far.
Yeah, it wasn't enough, and that's really all that people care about.
Yep.
That's all that people care about. So,
Scataboo was the leading receiver too.
Yeah, he's all over the and he threw a 20-yard ball to Trenton Borgay that he had to high point. Because he was not open. So I don't know. I thought the defense played well, but they lost a couple more players. They're as beat up as they've ever been. I don't know. To me, it felt like the team that was a little bit better and a little bit healthier won the game. Arizona State fans did not feel the same way. They felt like ASU blew it. They gave it away. It's a game they should have won. But I'm looking at the personnel that they're putting out there, and I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what we can expect from this team. To be able to move the ball was a nice change, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that was probably good. That makes sense. Now, Cal?
Cal does not still have a starting quarterback. They said that they're still evaluating.
How can they not be? Sam Jackson was 12 for 28 for 130. When your quarterback is completing like 40-some% of his passes, yes, you are going to be reeling a little bit. I don't know how to. I mean, I honestly I don't. I don't even know how there. He's completing 52% of the passes on the year. That is nowhere near where you need to be. I know Arizona State's defense can be confusing and everything, but he hasn't completed a high percentage pretty much all year anyway. And he didn't run the ball well either, and he's their running guy. 8 carries for -9 yards. This team is – I don't even know how to evaluate Cal, bro, because they're not going in the right direction.
And they're not good at the portal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Feels like we're looking at, like, Stanford.
Slowly dying?
Yes, except for Cal has a better path to get better because they can at least get kids in school. Because if they got that whole Marshawn Lynch, D-Jack crew in school, you can get who you want in. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. And I like those guys, but facts are facts. All right. Our Pac-12 power rankings. Now, it was my turn to rank them. Ralph had the chance to switch them, and Ralph decided to make a switch this weekend. And you know what? I said, okay, Ralph, you know what? I'm not going to switch a thing. I'm going to let you live with these consequences, buddy. And here is what we got. Washington at number one. Oregon at number two. Wazoo at number three. So Washington State at number three. USC at number four. Oregon State at five. Colorado at six. Utah at seven. UCLA at eight. Arizona at nine. Cal at 10. Arizona State at 11. And Stanford at 12. Now, where he switched... He switched Washington State and USC at 3 and 4. Now, in all honesty, I couldn't even argue. I don't think it's terrible, but I know that that some of you people are going to feel it's terrible. And if you guys are looking for like reaffirming thoughts and all of that stuff, then maybe the Podcast Champions is the right place for you USC fans.
They have them at 4-2. They have them at 4-2, I think.
Oh, they do?
I think they do.
Oh, well, yeah. Hey, good on you for being honest. Good
I look at Washington State. I look at Washington State and I look at USC, and I know you're going to hate this because you get the bougie peanut butter. But you get that. You see that Kroger or the Great Value peanut butter with the red lid? Red lid's a red lid. It no, really is the same. It's the same Jif and the Great Value red lid peanut butter.
Well, I don't eat Jif anyway.
No, that's what I'm saying. You don't eat the plastic lid peanut butter.
No, I eat my peanut butter out of glass jars, buddy.
Yeah, you got to like break it with a hammer and use all the peanut butter in one. No, but I'm for
where
for
the oil separates from the dude.
Yeah,
that's
for the plebs, for the regular the citizen
dude,
listeners.
That's the worst when the oil separates from the peanut butter. Do you know how long it takes to churn that stuff to get it back smooth again?
That's why you got to eat the cheap stuff. But no, I look at people think that Washington State's like great value or whatever. No, man, they're the real deal. Their offense can hang with anybody, and their defense, I think, is better than USC's.
I totally agree with their defense being better than USC. The end of that Oregon State game scared a little bit, but is what it is. All right, on to this week's slate of games, Ralph. Now, we only have 4 Pac-12 games because we are doing what the SEC does. We are gearing up for our best matchup, which is Washington versus Oregon 2 weeks from now. I might fly up there to Eugene for that one, buddy. I might fly up for that one. And you got Washington State, 12 o'clock kick at UCLA. UCLA -3.5, over under 59, Ralph.
I like Washington State to cover in this game. Obviously, I put them up to number 3 in the conference. And I will take the under on the 59.
Okay. I'm going to take the under as well. UCLA, who have been able to run the ball so well, the left side of their line in particular, the left side of their line is not good. Tackle's atrocious right now. And left guard just doing okay. So the left side of their line is weak. And they're doing strange stuff. Like having the returner block for, what's your boy's name? Yankoff. Colson Yankoff. As the returner. I don't know what's going on. This feels like Chip being too smart for Chip. I love Chip, but sometimes big brains get, I mean, like Elon Musk. He's done some really great things, and he's done some things where you're like, what are you thinking? It's like,
it feels like tight end jealousy. You bring up Yankoff every week. It feels like tight end jealousy. It feels like you wanted to return some kicks and you didn't get the chance.
No. Well, yes, I would have loved to return kicks, but I had no business back there returning kicks. How about that?
Okay.
Yes. It's like Utah putting Pittman back there to return kicks. That ain't your kick. That ain't your punt.
So what's your pick in this game?
Give me Washington State -3.5. Sorry, Bruins. My wife will be in the stadium crying.
And the over under?
Oh, under okay. That 59.5. Under
you're,
that 59.
You're on a hot streak. You're 17-7 this year against the spread, and 12-8 on the over unders. I went 5-0 last week, and that brought me within one of you. I'm 16-8 against the spread.
Okay.
Tied with you on the over-unders.
Okay. Hey, we're cooking with Crisco this year, bro. All right. Arizona at USC. USC -21.5. This game's in the Coliseum. They're probably a little bit upset with the way last week went. Now, T-Mac and Noah Fifita play at home if Noah Fifita is back the starting quarterback. could be a good homecoming. He ain't going to come out here and lay an egg. Give me Arizona minus 21 and a half. I'm sorry, not minus, no damn 21 and a half, plus 21 and a half. And I will take the over of 72.
I'll go with you on Arizona. They keep giving USC these three touchdown lines and they're failing to live up to them every week. I like Arizona's defense a little bit. If they do that thing where they try to keep everything in front of them, they will give up a lot of yards, but there won't be as many explosive plays. So I'll also take Arizona and I'm going to take the under.
Ooh, I was just listening to that. I was like, ooh, that under sounds juicy. All right. Colorado, Arizona State. Colorado is going on the road as a 4-point favorite, Ralph, against a complicated defense. They can stop the run. Colorado hadn't been able to run it until they played against USC. So I don't know whether they turned a corner or whether this is just who USC is. I like the Buffs, man. I like the Buffs to get back on track and get to 4-2. And the over-under of 60, no shot, bro. I'm taking it under.
I agree with you. I think Colorado's one touchdown win, maybe 10 points in this game. And I will also take the under. Shout out to Arizona State wearing glow-in-the-dark uniforms at 3:30 p.m. on a channel that nobody has.
They must be changing their uniforms for this game.
We'll see.
We will see. Yeah, they have to, because they probably thought this was going to be on national television. I don't know how in week six where they thought they would be, but they're right about where I thought they would be, at either 1-4 or 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, Oregon State, Cal. Oregon State minus 9.5 at Cal. This is over under 52. Ralph, this is a trick line. This line is a trick. Do not be fooled by this. Oregon State will not win by 10 points. It's 9.5 points. They will not win by that much. Cal's offense is atrocious. But, Oregon State did just put Utah in a headlock. But still, I'm going to go, I'm reluctantly going with Cal plus 9.5. And the under, I'm saying it's going to be like a 24-17 game.
All right. I will give Oregon State a 10-point win. I'm going to say 24-14, which hits the under as well.
Yikes. All right. Well, that is it. Where are we on our players of the week?
You're currently leading 4-3. I am.
Oh, no.
My comeback. You last week picked a player who only had one touchdown in Marshawn Lloyd because they didn't really give him the ball all that much.
Insane.
Meanwhile, Bo Nix had four touchdown passes in like four consecutive drives.
Insane, so bro. Insane.
I get the 1-point win. You get to pick first this week. You just can't pick a player you've already picked.
I cannot believe they let me down with Marshawn Lloyd versus Colorado. That's so gross because they were scoring from 50 instead of scoring from close. All right. I will take Cam Ward.
Okay. Interesting. You blocked me from taking somebody that I was going to actually take on the Washington State roster. I'm not going to tell you.
How did I block you?
Well, because if this player would have done well, it would have been because Cam Ward did well.
Okay.
Yes. All right. I'm going Shedeur Sanders.
Ooh, this is going to be a close one,
QB
buddy.
QB versus QB.
This is going to be close. Okay. All right. Come on, Colorado running backs. Because Cam Ward is going to score at least a couple touchdowns, running or passing. So we shall see. But you guys, that is the Pac-12 Apostles this week. Make sure you subscribe, tell a friend, share the episode. Peace out. Catch you guys next week.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. a great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Your credit card should match your lifestyle. At Kemba Financial Credit Union, choose a card with benefits that work for you. For a limited time, all cards have 2% cash back on purchases and 0% interest on balance transfers for a year. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.